Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A mentor with the Ocean County Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. Last week, I talked about why hackers target small businesses and the common risk that data breaches pose to small businesses. I also outlined the ways that hackers can penetrate your business's computer system and the common mistakes that leave businesses vulnerable. This week, I talk about the precautionary measures that can be taken to help prevent a data breach. To refresh your memory, hackers target small businesses because small businesses typically have lax security standards. Many small businesses don't monitor server networks and data on a regular basis. Most small businesses assume they won't be attacked. Few small businesses have an IT specialist or department. Many small business owners and employees operate on unsecure Wi-Fi, and most small businesses don't train employees on cybersecurity best practices. The fallout from a data breach can be devastating to a small business. Remember what I said last week. 60% of small businesses that fell prey to data theft closed within 6 months. Businesses that are victims of a data breach can be required to take time-consuming and expensive actions, including hiring a private firm to perform a mandatory forensic examination, providing credit monitoring services to affected customers, vendors, and employees, and paying liability fraud charges and payment credit card industry compliance fees. These are in addition to coming up with a communications plan and the resources required to repair the damage to their brand. Possibly, most devastating of all is that after a breach, businesses may not be able to accept credit card transactions until after the breach has been identified, investigated, and remediated. This means a business might not be able to accept credit card payments for possibly weeks or even months. For businesses that depend on credit card transactions for the bulk of their payments, this is a serious threat to their survival. Hackers use various methods to try and penetrate a small business's computer system. They are malware, which can come in three forms: adware, spyware, and Trojan horses; password attacks; phishing; farming; download drive-bys; and point-of-sale hacking. The common mistakes that leave small businesses vulnerable are not creating timed logouts, poor password standards, using outdated software, trusting public Wi-Fi, not encrypting data before storing it in the cloud, not creating a security policy, not updating point-of-sale systems, not providing locks for devices, and poor bring-your-own-device policies. Before I continue with part two, I want to tell you I'm not a data specialist. Everything you heard and will hear has been culled through research. This information is available on the internet. I have just pulled it together for you. So, to continue where I left off last week, let's look at some of the best practices for preventing data breaches. Unfortunately, there's no silver bullet for preventing data breaches. Securing your business from hackers requires a holistic approach. Most data breaches are the result of an inside job. No, it doesn't mean that your employees are double dealing with some secretive hacking agency. It means that most data breaches are caused by internal sources, such as employees and business owners, who don't follow good data security practices. What is going to follow is an in-depth look at some of the best practices for preventing data breaches. Once you've learned the best practices, I hope to help you learn how to create your own security policy and employee handbook. So let's start with passwords. Consider changing passwords every 3 months as a best practice. These changes should be significant enough that they cannot be guessed by someone who knew the previous password. For example, if your current password is redcardriver01 with everything in lowercase, don't update it to redcardriver02. Make the change more significant by changing the password to something like bluebicyclerider#11 with the B in blue, the B in bicycle, and the R in rider in capital letters. Make passwords long and varied. Typically, strong passwords are at least 10 characters long and contain symbols, upper and lowercase letters, and numbers. That is what is considered a strong password. An example of this might be what we said, red car driver 01. Use that password, but with R, C, and D in capitals. You can take this strategy one step further by creating a password phrase. An example of this would be red car driver 01 exclamation point with the R, the C, and the D in capitals. You can take this strategy one step further by creating a password phrase. So instead of red car driver 01 exclamation point, you might use did I drive a red car in 2001 with the first letter of each new word in capitals. The increased number of characters makes the chance of cracking the password significantly more difficult. If you want to increase the security of your password even further, you can swap numbers, symbols, and letters that are similarly shaped. You can also make completely random passwords by following shapes and patterns on your keyboard. For example, you can take the bottom line of your keyboard and type out every letter, making every other letter a capital letter, moving from left to right, and then back right to left. If you were to add several numbers and symbols, this password would be incredibly strong, easy for you to remember, and difficult to crack. Be sure to use significantly different passwords for each of your accounts. Using the same password for every account opens the floodgate to attackers once a password is cracked. Never use browser-based password storage systems. Storing passwords online with your web browser can increase the chance of a breach, whether it's by a hacker accessing the password remotely or a malicious user logging into your computer physically. This is because most web browser-based password managers store your password on your computer in an unencrypted form. You can write down your passwords to help remember them. You just need to do it safely. Get a sheet of graph paper and write your passwords on it so that they're going in different directions as they would in a word search puzzle. Once you have written the passwords down, fill the rest of the graph paper with words, letters, symbols, and numbers. You should be able to simply jog your memory for your password by looking at the sheet, but to someone else, it's extremely difficult. Use a dedicated password manager. Some professions require employees to manage tens to hundreds of passwords for various logins. Best practices state that you should always use a different password for different applications and programs. It can quickly become overwhelming trying to remember multiple strong passwords. In situations like these, consider using a dedicated password management program. Unlike browser-based managers, dedicated password management software can store your passwords in encrypted form in cloud-based storage or on your computer. They can also help randomly generate passwords and can ensure that passwords are automatically and periodically changed. With a password management application, you only need to enter one password to log into the interface. From there, the password management software will store all your passwords and input them automatically into web applications and programs. Password management applications can also be used to store credit card information. In addition to helping protect passwords and credit card numbers, these programs can help prevent against phishing attacks. Let's say you open the link contained in a phishing email. This link leads you to a website that looks similar to your bank website. Your password manager will know that it's not the actual website and it won't upload the password. To find the best password management program, just do a Google search. You'll be surprised how many hits you'll get. You can then do your own due diligence and pick a password management program that best suits your business's needs. Now it's on to remote access and using public Wi-Fi. Never use public Wi-Fi. Always assume the public Wi-Fi sources aren't secure, even if they're password protected. If you do use public Wi-Fi, turn off sharing on your settings panel. Sharing allows you to perform functions such as accessing remote printers, sharing files, and allowing remote logins, which are all very important procedures that deserve good security. Turn off network discovery. This will make it harder for anyone to see that your computer or mobile device is on the network. Use HTTPS whenever you can. HTTPS stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol Secure. It offers an extra layer of security and encryption over standard web browsing, which is labeled as HTTP. To know if you're using HTTPS, just take a look at the web address in your browser field. If the site is secure, the letters HTTPS will appear at the beginning of the website name. Most websites that accept information and passwords will automatically be HTTPS. For example, Facebook.com and Amazon.com use HTTPS. If you're on a website while using public Wi-Fi and you need to exchange any sort of information, double-check to make sure that it has HTTPS. If it doesn't, hold off on exchanging that information until you're able to get to a more secure Wi-Fi hotspot, perhaps one in your home or office. Disable Wi-Fi when you're in public places and don't use the internet. This will reduce the amount of time when your device is connected to the unsecure public network and decreases the chance of you being hacked. Make sure that the basic firewall that your computer or mobile device comes with is enabled. Enabling your firewall if it isn't enabled will make it far more difficult for malicious users to gain access to your system. Use a virtual private network when you're not on your home or work network. A virtual private network, a VPN, adds a level of security to your web browsing. It runs all your web activity through a private network, even though you're using a public one. Some small businesses allow their employees to bring your own device, BYOD. Consider that you may not want to make your BYOD policy mandatory for employees. Doing so requires the installation of invasive software and the loss of privacy for the device owner. Also, consider giving employees who wish to use their own device an acceptable user agreement policy and have them sign off on the agreement. This policy could cover information such as the requirement for malware and antivirus software, firewall specifications, password security, device location software, and clearly defined separate containers for personal and business data. This acceptable user agreement would acknowledge that the owner of the device relinquishes privacy and control over what's done on the device. It also should contain a clause that all data on the device can be wiped at the business owner's request if the employee leaves the company or is fired, loses his or her device, or if IT detects a breach on the device. Another BYOD best practice is to ensure that all of the business's spyware and antivirus software is also installed on all BYODs that are being used for work purposes. Make sure the software is installed in a manner that ensures the owner of the device isn't able to alter security features and settings. Typically, companies with strong BYOD practices insist that BYODs used for business be registered and ID'd, just as any other company device would be. They also require that all standard work computer policies apply to all personal devices that are used for work. Another important BYOD best practice is the installation of mobile device management software, MDM. This software allows owners to monitor and manage mobile devices. MDM software allows for tracking of mobile devices that may be lost or stolen. It also gives remote access to all data on the device. In the event of theft or loss, MDM software enables the user to wipe the entire hard drive of the device. MDM can also give managers the ability to encrypt data on the device, remove user access to the device, and disable the ability to transfer any data. Now, let's talk about antivirus software. There's a difference between antivirus and anti-malware software. A virus is a string of code that copies itself and does damage to a computer. Viruses were much more popular in the 1990s, but now have taken a back seat to other types of attacks, such as trojans and worms. Malware is a broadly used term to describe any type of malicious software that could attack your computer. Consider installing antivirus and anti-malware software on all PCs. This software can be installed at the administrative level so that all settings are fixed and cannot be changed by employees. You'll need software to handle both malware and viruses. Nowadays, most antivirus softwares handle malware as well. The term antivirus has lately become a catch term that now seems to encompass all major threats and not just viruses. There are two types of antivirus and anti-malware programs, on-demand and on-access. On-access programs are always running. They will help ensure that you don't go to a website that contains malicious software or that you don't install a program that has been infected. These on-access programs will either block you from going to malicious websites or post a warning on your screen about the threat. On-demand programs work by scanning your entire system or by scanning specific areas for threats at scheduled times. An on-demand program will not be running at all times. Instead, it can be used routinely to check and see if anything has slipped past the on-access program. This strategy ensures that your computer will be able to continue running quickly while also being protected. Some popular antivirus and anti-malware programs include Malwarebytes Anti-Malware, Norton Virus, McAfee, and Avast. Many times I've heard that Mac computers don't need antivirus and anti-malware software. It might seem a little reckless to come out and say, no, Macs don't need antivirus and anti-malware software. What can be said is that Macs make up a very small percentage of the vast number of computers that are in use, and hackers are opportunistic. So, it's rare that a hacker targets Mac because there are far fewer of them compared to the number of computers in use with Microsoft Windows operating systems. Because of how Mac operating systems are created, it's very difficult for malware to spread throughout the computer. Additionally, all Mac operating systems since OS X 10.8, which is Mountain Lion, have a gatekeeper function that prevents Mac users from installing non-Apple-approved applications. However, if your business uses Macs to handle highly sensitive data and is an obvious hacker target, then purchasing antivirus and anti-malware software may help provide some additional security. If you do want to install antivirus and anti-malware software on your Macs, these are the popular programs: SentinelOne and Sophos Antivirus. So what about data storage? Consider restricting access to portable storage units such as USBs and portable hard drives. Only employees who absolutely need them should have access. If you're using USB and portable hard drive devices, a good practice is to ensure they're password protected. Some storage units have numeric key codes built into the exterior of the device. Unless the code is input manually on the exterior keypad, the data is unreadable and the device cannot be used. Public storage devices can be outfitted with features that allow them to be wiped remotely. This is handy in the event that a device is lost or stolen, as it allows the user to remotely clear all of its data. With remote clearing, portable storage devices can also come with features that allow all activity to be tracked. This can be exceptionally useful if the inception point of a data breach is on a portable storage unit. You can also encrypt USB devices on all Microsoft Windows computers that are running Vista or a more frequent operating system by using BitLocker. BitLocker will enable password protection to encrypt and decrypt the data on the flash drive. If you're a Mac user, you can encrypt USB devices and make them password protected as long as you're running OS X 10.7 Lion or more recent. If you have a file saved in only one location, then it's not backed up. To be safe, consider storing data on your computer as well as in the cloud and possibly even a secured portable device. Before storing data on the cloud, it's important to encrypt. Most cloud storage units automatically encrypt data that is being stored. Unfortunately, anyone who has your password will be able to decrypt this data. Consider using a personal encryption software program to add an extra layer of protection to the data you're storing on the cloud. What about accepting credit card payments over the internet? Do you have a good, strong background in web development and IT? No? Then it's best if you set up an account with a third-party merchant to handle online credit card transactions. When you use a third-party vendor, the entire transaction process takes place off your website. The third-party merchant handles all credit card and personal information. This can greatly reduce your involvement in the handling of highly sensitive information. Third-party merchants who handle online credit card transactions must adhere to the standards set forth by the payment card industry. Most third-party merchants require no setup costs. Instead, they make their money by charging a small percentage of each of your transactions. Typically, these transaction charges are less than 3%. There are many third-party merchants. Some of the more popular are PayPal, Square, Stripe, Chase Payment Tech. It's time to move on to securing point-of-sale devices. If you're following best practice standards, your POS device should be updated to meet current PIN transaction security standards. A recent notable update means all your devices are now equipped with a chip reader as opposed to the traditional magnetic strip swipe reader. Routinely check your credit card reading device for the following signs of tampering: missing manufacturer labels, an inconsistency between electronic serial numbers and the serial numbers printed on the label on the bottom of the device, damaged seals, extra wiring, and high volume of magnetic strip reader fails and debit card declines. If you notice any of these telltale signs, contact the manufacturer immediately. Consider installing security mounts so that the card readers cannot be moved. This will help limit a malicious user's ability to tamper with the card reader. You may also want to keep all readers locked in a storage device. As a security measure, require all managers to check in and out. Also, record their whereabouts at the beginning and end of every shift. Peel off all sticker overlays on credit card readers. These overlays aren't standard on credit card readers anymore. Many times, they're often used to cover up signs of damage or tampering. Get to know the device you're using. 3D printing has advanced to the point where malicious users can duplicate the plastic shell of a credit card reader very easily. If you notice minor details or changes in appearance or function of the credit card reader, contact the manufacturer. You may be dealing with a 3D printed clone in place of a stolen reader. Don't allow any devices to be placed near the credit card reader. Sophisticated attacks can involve smartphones being placed near your credit card readers to capture customer information. Consider purchasing devices directly from manufacturers or authorized resellers only. Often, credit card readers sold online through non-authorized resellers have been tampered with. Many contain malicious software or hardware that will be used to steal credit card information. Consider purchasing POS software that encrypts and tokenizes all credit card information. ShopKeep is an example of a popular POS software that does this. Best practices for using mobile phones with card reader attachments to accept payments are: use hardware that immediately encrypts all data upon swipe or chip insert. Provide mobile devices for all employees and regulate their usage by employing the same best practices that you do for standard card readers and work computers. Ensure that all operating systems and applications are up to date, and never manually input credit card numbers. A couple of the more popular credit card reading devices are Verifone and MagTech. And for mobile devices, the most popular credit card processing services are PayPal and Square. Now let's talk about cyber liability and data breach insurance. This is one of the best and easiest ways to protect your business from data breach and manage the fallout. With the exponential growth of hacking incidents targeting businesses, this coverage is growing in popularity and being viewed more and more as a necessity. In the event of a breach, this insurance can help cover expenses and, in addition, may include services to help manage and mitigate the fallout. Often, these policies will include options that will help notify customers in the event of a data breach, cover the legal expenses that result from a breach, help with advertising costs to repair a business's reputation, and help identify the breach and mitigate its damages. Data breach insurance can also help business owners prevent breaches from happening in the first place. Look for policies that include support for employee training, assistance in setting up network security, help in creating security policies, and procedures and incident response planning. Talk to your insurance agent to learn more about how cyber liability and data breach insurance can help strengthen your business's data security. There are still a few more items to cover to help mitigate a data breach in your business, but I'm running out of time. Let me recap all of the measures I've just outlined to help minimize or prevent data breaches. Strengthen passwords by increasing their length, varying them by adding capital letters and symbols, and changing passwords every 3 months. Never use public Wi-Fi. Make sure websites you're using are secure. They should begin with HTTPS. The S stands for secure. Enable your computer's firewall. Use a virtual private network, a VPN. Install antivirus and anti-malware software on all computers. If possible, don't allow employees to use their own device. If employees do use their own device, make sure that they sign an acceptable use agreement. Restrict access to public storage units such as USBs or the cloud. Make sure that data stored on the devices or the cloud are encrypted before being stored. Use third-party processors for credit card purchases. Use POS devices that meet the latest PIN transaction security. And finally, purchase cyber liability and data breach insurance. If you would like more information about this show or any past Score Business Points show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If you have a topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points or comments about this show or past shows, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for the last part of this series on data breach. On that show, I will finish up on safeguards against the data breach. I will then outline steps a small business owner can take to help minimize the damage after a breach has occurred. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They have been doing this for over 50 years. Because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA, and thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they are able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information about how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit OceanCounty.score.org. OceanCounty.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at WBNJ.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the Ocean County Chapter of SCORE at 91.9 WBNJ.